Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and we've got a good education today because it's kind of an interesting time in football because, I mean, you can see new leagues forming, and here's one that's going to be very interesting. It's the Pacific Pro Football League, and it's being run by Ed McCaffrey, the former Denver Bronco wide receiver, but the founder is Don Yee, agent for so many great players through the year, including Tom Brady, and so this is going to start in July or back in 2020, and so Don, first, give us the premise for Pacific Pro Football League.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on. This will be the first professional football league available to those players not yet eligible for the NFL. So the NFL is the only major professional sports league in the world, John, that doesn't have any type of developmental path to the final destination, which is fairly anomalous. If you think about it, every other major league, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, English Premier League, all of them have early professional paths, and they have multiple ways in order for young athletes to get to the desired destination. The NFL is the only one that doesn't have that, and so we want to create a professional football league that allows an alternative path to the NFL for these for the next generation of talent.
So how do you have it set up so that once you start going on, I mean, how many teams and how the developmental league is going to be? I know it's going to be based in California.
Yes. So initially we'll start with a 4-team pod, initially based in Southern California. And by year three, we have a projection to expand by another 4-team pod to another part of the country. And at maturity in year five, by one other 4-team pod. And at maturity, hopefully 12 teams playing within their own pods in order to keep expenses down. But the entire league, John, if you can think about it, this product will be curated specifically for the NFL. So if you got together a roundtable of NFL general managers, coaches, and scouts, and you asked them to devise a league where the players can be properly trained for NFL-style football and where scouting personnel can come in and easily access information and scout those players, that's the type of league we're trying to build.
Now, of course, I mean, I guess the one issue is the NFL currently has it so that you have to have 3 years out of high school before you can turn pro. So basically, is this kind of a league that you can be there for about 3 years, and then by the third year, then you can start thinking about getting into the NFL?
Absolutely. So what I envision, particularly in year one, and year one's different than any other year. You know, year one, you're trying to get the product just right and put the best product you can on the field. So the player mix in year one, I anticipate, will be a lot of players who already have played 1, 2, or potentially 3 years of college football or community college football and have developed their skills to a certain extent. This league will be the best of the best, and what I mean by that is we're not going to make any employment offer to any player unless we feel that player actually has an NFL future ahead of them. So in year one, what I would see is I think there will be a population of players who actually have played very well and started for some major college programs interested in at least exploring that pathway. But ultimately, the player population will consist of high school players, community college players, elite athletes from around the world, perhaps major college players who are not developing for one reason or another, and major college stars.
How competitive is this going to be against college coaches trying to recruit?
I think it's going to be very competitive, John, because you're talking about a player population whose ambition it is to be in the NFL. So if you can envision, and you've been there before yourself, if you can envision the NFL Senior Bowl, for example, where you've got the best seniors in the country invited to participate in a week of NFL-style practices and an NFL-style game, if you can envision that expanded into a 4-team league over 2 months, that would be the product we're trying to build.
Interesting. And so, and of course, now is there going to be pay involved for the players or just expenses, or how's that going to work?
Yes, the players will all be professionals, John, and we project an average salary and benefits package for a two-month season of $50,000. And that's not a wage scale type of arrangement. We will negotiate with each player separately, depending on what their perceived market value is. But from a business standpoint, that is the average projection. Once they turn professional, John, they'll be able to hire agents immediately and be able to commercialize themselves with endorsements or other business activities.
Interesting. Now, the I know talking to Oliver Luck, and he's saying that the XFL, which is starting up in 2020, very well may start to try to get players, you know, out of high school too. So I guess that'll be a little bit of the competition.
I actually don't. You know, I've spoken to Oliver about this, and you know, we wish them the best in their development. But actually, Oliver's been on record saying that their product will not be a developmental product, which is very different than what we are trying to do. What we're trying to do is help the NFL's next generation of talent properly develop their skills in an NFL-style game, as well as take whatever steps are necessary to preserve their physical integrity and safety, so that by the time they get to the NFL, they're ready to go and the learning curve has shortened.
So who came up with the idea? I mean, you're the founder. This mm-hmm. has been in the works, and I know that you know, in the future, maybe Tom Brady will get involved in this too, and a lot of players from the NFL, a lot of people from the NFL. So how did you first come up with this?
Well, you know, as you know, I've been representing players for over 30 years, as well as coaches, so my ear's pretty close to the ground on this issue. And, you know, in my day job, you know, proper player development is really critical. You know, so for example, we represent Julian Edelman. We've been really privileged to be able to work with him. But when he came out of college, he was an option quarterback. And while he was successful as a college player, you know, it was readily apparent to us that that was not going to be his position in the NFL, and that there was going to be a lot of work done in order to get him to become a receiver or a punt returner. Now, he's very lucky, and the Patriots did an unbelievable job of spending several years of developing him and transitioning him to a new position. So what I've always felt was, for players like that, if he could have been transitioned much earlier and properly developed much earlier, he would have had probably much more immediate success. And so this happens to a lot of players, John. In fact, I was just on NFL.com reading about a Baylor wide receiver named Jalen Hurd, who is going to get a lot of attention, but he started his career at Tennessee as a running back. And he unilaterally made the decision to transfer schools simply because he felt at the NFL level he was not going to be a running back, he was going to be a receiver. And so there are many players that are constantly faced with this type of decision and situation because they really want to play in the NFL. But in the current model, they really don't have many options or choices available to them.
How good is the quality of coaching going to be?
Oh, I think it's going to be outstanding, John. We've already had many, many inquiries from former NFL coaches. And as you know, there are lots of coaches who've done very, very well in their careers, still are very active. And frankly, many of them really want to get back to working with ascending talent and helping properly develop that talent without all of the pressure of having to win.
How do you look at so far the start of at least the one developmental league, the Alliance of American Football, which ironically, after a couple weeks, had to get an infusion of money from mm-hmm. a hockey owner? How mm-hmm. do you look at that as their start?
Sure. I give them a lot of credit for all the progress they have made. You know, I'm very familiar with a lot of the issues they're confronting because we're dealing with them ourselves. But their product is very different. I know it's been termed as a developmental league, but it, you know, in my view, it really isn't, in the sense that, you know, these coaches are trying to win, and you know, the schemes that they're using are everything designed for the team to win, and player development is not necessarily at the forefront of what they're trying to do. But what they've done so far is put on the limited amount I've seen is a pretty good entertaining product for this time of year.
It really is. I mean, I know that the ratings in week two were not as strong as week one, but they were acceptable on TV. And again, it's one where it's like, you know, this has been so needed, because really since 2007, I mean, the lack of development, and you know, you've seen how many quarterbacks come through. I mean, and you represent one that doesn't give many opportunities for quarterbacks to get on the field, that they need the opportunity to try to get some playing time.
Absolutely. And if you really think about, you know, the NFL as a business, you know, they obviously they've got 32 great owners who put a lot of effort into maintaining product integrity. But really what makes the NFL is the talent of the players, and safeguarding that talent pipeline and continually improving it is paramount. But the NFL actually relies on the NCAA and has relied on the NCAA for many decades now, and they really don't have any influence on how that talent pipeline is maintained. And so what we're trying to do is fill this void in the marketplace and supplement the entire industry.
Well, that's the thing that I think is so positive about this, because, I mean, you see the way the colleges have gone with the spread offense and the air raid offense, and now it's just taken certain positions that are so vital in the NFL out of the loop. Like, for example, that strong safety that would come up and stop runs in the box. I mean, they're pretty much phased out of a lot of the college defenses. Fullbacks, for example. I mean, if you're getting a fullback in the NFL coming out of college, you're taking a linebacker or a guy from another position to be able to fill that void. So, yeah, you're right in the sense that colleges have drifted so far away of what the NFL needs.
Right. It's and again, you know, the NFL, the game is simply adapting to the talent, and this is the talent that's currently being provided right now. And from a philosophical standpoint, I think the league has to make a decision: is this the style of game they want, or do they feel their fans want a more traditional NFL-style game? And you mentioned the fullback, John, and I think we went back and studied this over the last 20 or 25 years. Virtually every team that's participated in the Super Bowl, at least one or both, has had a fullback on the roster. And, in fact, yes, obviously this year, James Devlin of the Patriots filled a very important role all season for the Patriots. And so that's one of the things we're going to try to do with Pacific Pro Football, is specifically curate the product so that the NFL would be happy with it, as well as we are very open to any suggestions from the league or its personnel about how to do this.
Well, it's fascinating, because I'm sure you talked to Tom Brady about this and working with Bill Belichick. I mean, he's been exposed to so many different things in the NFL that most NFL teams have not had, particularly on offense. I mean, what, a couple years ago, they were running the Oregon running scheme. You know, he was, Bill Belichick, when Wes Welker was there and Tom was there, came in and was running air raid type routes. And so there's been so many things that particularly, you know, that Tom's been involved, and I'm sure that you've talked to him about that, that they've been ahead of the game in New England for so many years, that has to help your vision in this.
Yeah, and that's a huge credit, obviously, to the Patriots organization and to Bill and his entire coaching staff. But you're absolutely right, John. It's, you know, I think after, you know, 30 years of representing players, I have a decent idea of, I think, particularly from a mental standpoint, of what a player is going to need to do in order to prepare for an NFL career. And for a lot of young players, obviously there's so much focus on the physical development and their attributes there. But for many, many young players, they completely underrate the mental preparation that is required to make that transition. And that's why there are many talented players from the college level, for one reason or another, they'll struggle with that transition because they're really not getting that type of guidance in college. In college football, you've got a well-paid college head coach and staff, and, you know, their objective is to win games.
Well, that's the one thing also that's so interesting, and I don't know what it's going to be in the next CBA, but you know from the CBA that was installed in 2011, and Bill Belichick knows this better than anybody else, it literally takes 3 years to equal the preparation time that you have for a player, which is, I think, one of the reasons that Belichick has gone ahead, and he's been probably the most proactive in trading for guys in their rookie contracts, third or fourth year, that have had that time invested, that he'll look at the player, put him in packages. If he works, they'll get him to a contract extension, or if not, they'll let him go and get a compensatory pick. But he's been the most proactive in that, because literally the prep time is now so much less. I mean, 3 years, you think about that with the prep time. And so if you have a guy coming from college that didn't have that, and it takes 3 years to try to make up, it's tough.
Right, and that's why we want to create this league, because we feel, and you know, myself in particular, along with Ed McCaffrey, we've had many discussions about this. Mike Shanahan is on our advisory board. I've spoken to Mike about this. You know, we strongly feel we can create a product that's going to shorten that learning curve. And there's nothing else out there in the marketplace that can do that right now. And so you're absolutely right. You've got NFL teams right now trying to figure this out, and they're actually trying to not only win games on the one hand, but that on the other hand, trying to develop players at now minimum salaries that are $500,000. So that's a big risk. And so we feel that if we can successfully create this product and get it off the ground and populate it with NFL type of players, I think we're going to probably benefit the industry as a whole.
You know, it was kind of interesting because I know just at the Super Bowl, watching what Bill Belichick did, basically taking an offense from the 70s with the two backs and a wham blocking with Rob Gronkowski, and then going to a little bit of the Buddy Ryan 60, well, it was not the 46, but he had six defensive linemen, or six guys on the line and one. It's like going back old school, which is so much harder to do now with all the guys coming out of college.
That's right. And in fact, actually, if you what you just described, John, frankly, you know, is some people might think it is a little bit more vanilla football because it's less scheme-based and execution-based and based on physicality. But that's really kind of the Senior Bowl week, John, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the Senior Bowl, they really want to see execution and one-on-one matchups, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, and that'll be good. I mean, what type? Let's kind of go into particulars. How big are the rosters going to be per team?
The projection at the moment will be 40 players per roster, and we'll try to do with the kicking unit, for example, is between the snapper, the holder, and the kicker, for example, and the punter. We may try to innovate as well as reduce our own expenses, but use that same unit for both teams during a game. And so that particular unit will get all of the repetitions in the entire game. But the projection right now is 40 outside of the kicking units.
Scheme-wise, what type of offenses will be put together?
They will be NFL-style offenses. And so some of the rules we will innovate similar to the Senior Bowl, John. So, for example, you know, one of the major complaints around the league is there are so many quarterbacks now coming into the game that have never even really held a huddle or called a play in a huddle, for example. So one of the things we might innovate is limit a no-huddle series to one per half.
Interesting.
So that will require quarterbacks to learn how to call these plays in the huddle. I envision every team also having a fullback, John. And I envision out of the initial 14 pod, two will use an Earhart-based, numbers-based offensive scheme, and two will use more of a West Coast word-based scheme.
Hmm. And, of course, that's that Air Coryell type of offense, which is just a numbering for the wide receivers, which is, you know, very simple to be able to pick up and very quick for the quarterback to be able to do. Similar to the Senior Bowl, is there going to be blitzing allowed or no blitzing allowed?
Right now, the initial discussions would be very limited blitzing, and one of the big reasons is, obviously, besides player safety, is that from a scouting standpoint, we want these scouts to be able to see one-on-one matchups. So from an offensive line blocking standpoint, for example, you know, we'd like to see that left tackle against that end one-on-one. And in the presentation or a game, one of the things being discussed is how to highlight for the viewer the importance of these one-on-one matchups and the kinds of projections they can make about this particular player and how that particular player might project to their favorite NFL team.
Okay, and of course, I know you're getting a bunch of sponsorships that are already there, but tell us how everybody can find out more about the Pacific Pro Football League.
The website is pacificprofootball.com. Adidas is on board as a founding sponsor, and they've been terrific, and they actually are completely immersed in the product with us and helping us develop the branding as well. We also have enlisted South Korea's preeminent IT firm, Ion Communications, which has state-of-the-art technological capabilities that will bring an AI component to our game. And we actually just had a meeting with them this week talking about all the possibilities in terms of how we can use AI to enhance player development.
And, of course, I would imagine that by the time the first group of pod, the four pod gets in there, Tom Brady will have, what, three more Super Bowl rings? That's the way it's going.
Well, you know, what we say, you know, it's not that complicated. I just try to say, you know, let the trend be our friend on that particular topic.
All I know is I was doing next year's projections, and now that Miami's tearing things down and the Jets have 26 free agents, it looks like 6-0 in the division and probably home field advantage in the playoffs for the Patriots.
Well, that's why they call you the professor, John. You have a very educated opinion on these things.
Hey, Don, thank you so much, and best of luck with the league.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.